Our first question, Dr. Swaminarayan, is from Heather in Alberta, Canada. Mm-hmm. And Heather says, as someone who has dealt with pulling ticks from horses since we moved to southern Alberta, I'm interested in any signs or symptoms. So what are the clinical signs that we're looking for in horses?
Okay, so here's, we could probably use the word consensus and controversy at this,
yeah,
at the same time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use as a basis is the two articles we talked about, plus a little bit of what's kind of goes on in practice. There are only three clinical symptoms or signs of borreliosis or Lyme disease in the horse that we know are truly related to Lyme disease in the horse. And they are very simply a bumpy skin disease that looks like lymphoma, which is called pseudo lymphoma, and pseudo just means false. So it's false lymphoma. So where the tick attaches, sometimes you'll see these little strips of tissue that look like lymph tracts, like somebody's put a little tiny straw or something long underneath or spaghetti underneath the skin. So one is lymphoma or pseudo lymphoma or bumpy skin. It is eye disease, like moon blindness, which is uveitis. Mm-hmm. And the third is a neurological disease. Now, from the studies that we've done, the research that's been done in infecting horses with Lyme disease, that's it. Those are the only symptoms that we know are definitively caused by Lyme disease. Now, those of you in the audience are going, now wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there are a boatload, I think that's a good way to put it. I almost said it the wrong way, of symptoms and signs that we relate back to Lyme disease: stiffness, behavioral changes, girthiness. Oh my gosh, it gets blamed for everything up here. You know, your truck won't start in the cold morning, and it's Lyme disease in this area.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. But the most common symptom that we get in the field, or we feel get from field practitioners, is that stiffness and shifting leg lameness. And so that probably should be on the list somewhere based on where we find the bug. And we find the bug, and for bug, you know, obviously I'm talking about Lyme or Borrelia, in between the muscles, along what they call the fascia, along the nerve endings, and in especially around the joint spaces in the synovial lining of joints. So you'd imagine that the nerves would be irritable, the muscles would ache, and the joints would hurt. And it's different in people and different in dogs. So we'll consider those as probable signs of Lyme disease, but they're not actually been proven.
So is that lameness that we see, is that a neurologic lameness?
No, there were four cases out of Europe, and I could find the paper, but I'm not sure anybody really did the care. There was a report of four cases in Europe where they had what they call inflammation of the synovial lining, or synovitis. So you have a swelling, not a swelling, let's drop that one, a pain that's around the joint space. So you're going to get that sort of, and it's in multiple joints. So almost like rheumatoid arthritis, you're going to get a shifting leg, multiple limb, multiple joint, hard to block out, weird lameness, and then a stiffness that goes on with it. The neuritis may be something more like a twitchy face. If you've got nerves are kind of ticked off, you're going to find that the muscle that's associated with it may atrophy. So you might get some muscle atrophy, you might get some back pain. Those of you that have thoroughbreds that have had throat issues and have trouble breathing, you'll get the same thing with the neurological form of Lyme disease. You'll get respiratory distress or a tough time breathing because they get sort of paralyzed in their throat. So, and then they get the neurological ones will get a little bit of wobbliness or ataxia.
So I've heard you say girthiness, which makes me think ulcers, and yep. Uveitis, that makes me think lepto.
Yep, exactly.
So how do you distinguish Lyme disease from other causes of similar clinical signs?
The hallmark that we came up with, and this was actually a consensus between at least the seven authors in the consensus paper statement, is that, and I'll say this a couple times through the the process is that Lyme is on your rule out list or your list of differentials or things that you're thinking about when you look at a horse with certain clinical signs, but it's also the last thing you look at. So when we ask practitioners to try and diagnose Lyme disease, we ask them actually to try to rule out common issues that happen first. So you want a complete and thorough rule out of common differentials. And what that means is that you do everything you can to make sure that it's not EPM, to make sure that it's not leptospirosis, to make sure it's not just good old fashioned bone spavin that's causing, let's say, the lameness. The neurological disease, they often, you know how they often overlap. And I very much enjoy neurological disease because we work on it very hard as internists, and it's not such a conundrum as when I was in general practice. Mm-hmm. So we rule out EPM, we rule out West Nile virus, we rule out rabies if you're in Texas, because rabies is as much of a mimicker of multiple diseases as Lyme disease is. You can come in with a horse that has a single leg lameness and it's actually rabies.
Yeah.
So you rule out everything else first, and then you're stuck with Lyme as a, almost as a leftover, believe it or not.